welcome to Smash to Pieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing in this show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2019's Fire Emblem Three Houses. There's a very large chance that by the time you hear this, that intro is outdated.
As we record, it is Wednesday, September 22nd, and there is a Nintendo Direct on Thursday, September 23rd.
Anyways, we're here to talk about a special game this time. It's not representing anybody. We're finally on the point in our little weird timeline that we have set up to the point where Super Smash Bros. Melee has been released. It's a video game.
This is a game that has quite a reputation.
It sure does. I have some things to say about that, but I don't know if it's something we should start the show off with.
I would say also this is probably the first Smash game as we know it, because you can see how the series from here uses Melee more as a starting point than Smash 64. Smash 64 obviously is the original concept, but Melee was kind of a big change in how it actually felt to play, and every game since then has been an iteration on that.
Yeah, kinda. Specifically, the main thing that it added was Side Special, which was not a thing in Smash 64.
And did it add tilts, too? I think it added tilts.
Did it? I don't actually remember if tilts are in Smash 64.
I can't remember either, but ever since Melee, there has not been a substantial change to the controls of Smash Brothers. There's been Final Smashes added in Brawl, but the minute-to-minute gameplay that is consistent has stayed the same since Melee. And that, I would say, is probably a big testament to how they really figured it out in this one.
Yeah, this is, I think, easy to say that I'd say at this point, this is probably the second favorite in the series overall. Like, I don't mean with me, I mean in general. Because I feel like Ultimate's at least earned its spot for just how large scale it is in general, even.
Well, the thing about Melee's continuing reputation and popularity as a tournament game is that I would say it's kind of notable that while there has always been an argument as to whether Melee and or the most recent game is better, it has always been Melee and the most recent game. Brawl, Smash 4, and probably in the future Ultimate will just, they've never held up in the same way that Melee does.
Yeah, it's the comparison point more than 64 ever was, honestly. And while that may be the case, I think this is I'm pretty sure I still dislike playing Brawl more, probably. I don't know, I haven't touched Super Smash Bros. Brawl in almost a decade, but I don't enjoy playing Melee, because I'm bad. I think I said during the pre-show last week, or last episode, the way I put it was, it's the one I am the most bad at in comparison to how I'm bad at all of them.
So, recently I've been talking about Super Metroid a lot as part of the Nintendo World Report and Metroid Game Club, because you may not remember this if you're listening to this in the future, but Metroid Dread is about to come out. So there's a lot of talk of Metroid recently. And I feel very similar between Melee and Super Metroid in a way that they have been superannuated in some ways, in that it just feels a little better to play more recent games. In Metroid, a big thing is that, like Super Metroid, you have to mash the select button to cycle through your weapons, and then in later Metroids, you just hold the R button to use the missiles. Melee feels like that a lot too, where modern Smash Brothers games generally make controls flow a little better. The buffer system in Ultimate definitely makes it easier to play at a casual level. And just generally, the game's skill floor has been lowered a lot since Melee. But the same way that I feel about Metroid is that in Melee, despite that higher skill floor, the skill ceiling is way high, and that gives the game a lot more potential. And I think it's unfortunate that there is not a best of both worlds version of Melee. For Super Metroid, there is in a ROM hack called Super Metroid Redux, but there's never really been a version of Melee that adds that more accessibility without reducing the level of potential complexity, which is unfortunate because I feel like the potential that Melee has for you to get good as a player and really pull off some insanely cool stuff is the high point of the franchise. But it is also at a point where I, as a player, don't really feel like I can play Melee anymore because the things that have been added in later games help me out too much. And that's really unfortunate. And this is why I consider it very unfortunate that later Smash Brothers games have diverted away from Melee so much, in that we never got that best of both worlds version where you have that incredibly high skill ceiling and that lower skill floor.
That's just a problem I feel like plagues the fighting game genre in general, if that makes sense, because the whole thing ends up being like, you can have it super accessible so that anybody can pick up and play it, or it can have this deep competitive, like, possibilities to it. And I honestly don't think there is a best of both worlds that can be met between those two, because the more accessible you make your fighting game, the less room it has to grow into this own competitive sort of idea and all that. I'm forgetting all of the English words that would let me describe what I'm saying. They're all gone, but
in many ways, the problem is that the skill ceiling is so high because the skill floor is also high.
Yeah. And like you see it with stuff like when we talk to some of our more competitive fighting game minded friends about stuff like, I don't know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and how people sort of started getting bored of that game because there was just nothing that was going to change.
Until it suddenly got a huge update that was just, this game's more fun competitively now.
Which Melee isn't going to get anytime soon.
Sure ain't.
In the other direction. But I don't know. I've always, I've mellowed out on this since, you know, becoming an adult that isn't stupid. But the Smash community has always had this, like, weird attitude towards new games where a bunch of very loud people, not the majority of people, some very loud people, just, it sometimes can feel like when a new Smash game comes out, they're like, well, it's not Melee. It's not just Melee reskinned. I want nothing to do with it. And this has gotten so much better recently now that we've gotten a Smash game that is actually kind of fun competitively, considering the last three weren't.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of discussion online about how Ultimate players kind of hate playing Ultimate competitively.
Ah, they're just weak. It gave us the F moment, and that's all that matters.
That's correct.
That puts it above Melee in any way, shape, or form at this point. Nobody can argue against that.
I would say that I don't really agree that this problem of, like, people not liking change, just wanting it to be the thing that they already like. I would say that's not really a Melee-specific thing. I think that's kind of, I mean, obviously we know that's just the internet, but I don't think that it has ever really been more prevalent in Melee.
Well,
it's just Smash Brothers has just kind of been the community that we're the most attached to.
Well, when you look at fighting games as a whole, like all the other fighting game communities, they move to the next game when it comes out. And even when it's bad. I mean, Street Fighter V still has people playing it for some fucking reason. And that's not to say that other games die down. I mean, we fucking 2 years ago, as part of this show, watched a grand finals for Super Street Fighter II, a game that came out in like 1997. But I feel like you don't get much of that. And it's also a testament to like how not great Brawl and Wii U were, where yeah. both of those just sort of went away.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that Melee never would have had a competitive future if Brawl hadn't been bad, but if Ultimate had been the very next Smash Brothers game after Melee, I think we'd be having a very different conversation.
Very much so, probably. It is a testament to Melee's sort of well put togetherness, quote unquote, that it's the one that is still going. Like, Brawl and Wii U just ended when the game that came after them came out.
And I would say that part of the reason that the Smash Brothers community has gone in separate directions where many other fighting games don't is that I'd say there's two big reasons for that. Number one, active developer support kind of means a lot. Even Ultimate today, Nintendo doesn't really give a shit.
Yeah, historically, Nintendo is not great with that part.
Yeah, so like Capcom is over here throwing around thousands of dollars on Street Fighter esports.
Bandai Namco's doing that too with Tekken.
So like, if you don't like Street Fighter V, you probably like that $10,000 grand prize. And yeah. I think $10,000 is like the highest prize money that Smash Brothers has ever had in any one tournament. Like, it was a huge deal.
And that's obviously a factor in why Melee has stuck around, because Melee grew the community, grew in an environment of Nintendo doesn't give a shit, so I guess we'll do it ourselves.
Yeah, active indifference from Nintendo, and at some points, active opposition. Nowadays they've reached the point where they'll only really try to stop you if you use ROM hacks or something, but there was that one moment where Melee was at Evo and Nintendo almost shut that down.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember Nintendo getting super bullied about that, which they should have. That was justified.
But I would say the other big reason that Melee still stays so strong, whereas other fighting games tend to mostly move on to the next game, is that I think that there is a lot less in common between Melee and Ultimate than there is between Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 5.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Like, Ryu still plays like Ryu and has since Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. And that, like, that's just kind of the thing about Smash Brothers, is that there hasn't been a game that is as much of a natural successor to Melee in a competitive sense. Brawl actively went in the other direction.
Boy, did it!
Yeah, and there's just never been a game that even really tried to do what Melee did.
And I mean, it's also a lot harder to adapt forward in Smash, because not only, like I mentioned, Ryu still plays like Ryu in every Street Fighter game, like that's how it works, but also Street Fighter doesn't need to worry as much about, like, physics and specific hitboxes and double jumps.
Yeah, it is definitely a much more complex game, but it's also really just that, like, Ultimate is the first game since Melee that I didn't feel like was making an active effort to fight the existence of a tournament community. It's,
yeah,
like, they didn't play into it in any way, but it felt like they just finally accepted that it existed and let it exist. So
yeah, and Ultimate is the closest they've come to making another fun competitive Smash, because Brawl and Wii U sure as fuck weren't, and 3DS was on a 3DS, so
yeah. So I would say that a lot of people look at this and it's like, well, no other fighting games still have people playing a 20-year-old game. And I would say it's not that simple for Melee. There's just not another game like Melee. And at a casual level, there's very little to see in difference between them. But the average person who would say that Melee and Ultimate are the same, do you think they even know that tilts exist? Like, actually?
Probably not. Honestly, if I wasn't so deeply entrenched in Super Smash Bros., I don't know if I would know tilts existed. You want to know how I learned that tilts exist? I learned it from Show Me Your News.
Yeah. And so that's why I think a lot of people that complain about the fact that Melee has a competitive community, there can be problems with the way people in the community act, and that's one thing entirely. But I do see people that are like, Melee shouldn't have a competitive community because it's an old game and we have a new and better one. And that's just, I think that's just a patently wrong thing to say.
I agree with that. I mean, I'm sure at some point when I was an edgy teenager, I did try to tell people, like, just move on to the next game. In fact, I don't even think I need to say I think I did that. I'm pretty sure I said exactly those words a lot. But, yeah, it's not just, like, there's no game like Melee. It's also just, it just goes back to Nintendo doesn't give a shit about this community. They built themselves in Melee.
Which frankly... Frankly, maybe they shouldn't. Like, there's no reason for them to. And it's, I personally think it's really shitty the way that they're actively shutting stuff down right now. I think that's also a completely different matter. But as far as, like, active support, I really don't think that they should or need to. But it's definitely a clear reason as to why we're sticking with the one that we built up ourselves, because that's the one we like better.
And it also, like, it kind of sucks. I imagine it kind of sucks for these players that, like, you go to Evo and Smash is just on its own there, playing on TVs that aren't manufactured anymore, that are a pain in the ass to get a hold of, as far as I'm aware.
Yep.
And then you're standing next to, like, Capcom and Bandai Namco and Arxis, who are actively, like, they contribute to the prize money. They do their announcements on stage. And I imagine it, I can't really, I can't pretend that I don't think that sounds like it would make me feel shitty.
Yeah.
Like, the fighting game community is very built around, like, these companies have been supporting them since the beginning. Like, Capcom's been supporting Street Fighter for fucking years, for decades. They used to be the kings of fighting games. They made so many different ones. And, like, all these series get a bunch of developer support, and then Nintendo's like, I don't know, just don't put Waluigi on screen, or we will have our sniper shoot both players. That's how I imagine it goes. I don't have proof for that, though.
I definitely feel like Melee players would be happy to have a new Melee, because,
or even just at this point, like, there are plenty of people that have just been saying, yeah, just port Melee.
Yeah, even just do that.
Just wholesale put it on the Switch. And Nintendo doesn't even really seem to be...
It's weird that they are not monetizing Melee in any way.
It is bizarre, but also, like, there are maybe 3 GameCube games you can go play legally somewhere right now,
yeah,
without going to find physical copies, and they're both Zelda games, so
yep. And I would say that on to that end, like, they did try to move on to Brawl. When Brawl first came out, most Melee players started playing it.
Well, that happens every game. Melee players do give the games a shot.
I wouldn't say that it's ever happened to the extent that it happened with Brawl, where Melee stopped being big for a little while. Like, the tournament series revival of Melee is called that because there was a reason for that. The first revival of Melee was the first big Melee tournament for, like, 2 years after Brawl came out. They really did give Brawl a chance, and it just didn't connect with them in the same way. And then with Smash 4, it didn't get as much of a chance because they went through this once already. And then I think with Ultimate, there was just very little crossover between Melee players and Ultimate players from the beginning.
The other thing that I think we should talk about is the general joke about Melee that people make. When they don't know Melee, it's like, oh, Fox only, no items, Final Destination. And, like, yeah, a lot of people play Fox, or they play Marth, otherwise they lose. that's, unfortunately, that's just part of it. But like, hey, as far as I'm aware, every fighting game has that.
Yeah, in that regard,
all of them.
Melee is a pretty healthy roster. There are like 8 or 9 characters you regularly see placing high in tournaments. And yeah, there's the ones that are considered the best, but that's every fighting game. Even with the stages, like Final Destination isn't that big of a deal. Most competitive players don't actually really think it's the most competitive stage. So this genre is called platform fighter, and it doesn't have platforms. It's not the most balanced stage in the game.
I mean, because you look at the people that like make that joke, and then you remember, like, hey, bro, you play Marvel vs. Capcom 2. The game where you play this exact trio of characters, or you lose.
I think that competitive Melee is still really exciting to watch today. And it is constantly changing and evolving. If you go back 5 years in Melee's history at any given point in time, it looks totally different. And back when we were, 10 years ago, when Melee was already 10 years old, and Smash 4 was on the horizon, we'd moved away from Brawl because we knew Melee was the faster and technical, more technical game. You look at footage from that time, and it looks kind of like us playing it. Like, that's how much it's evolved and changed, and it's still evolving and changing. I really don't think we're anywhere near the end of this game's competitive life.
If anything is going to end this game's competitive life, it's going to be the ever-shrinking supply of CRTs.
I think that's mostly been solved now.
Has it?
I think people have finally figured out how to get no input lag on modern displays.
Huh.
But that is a recent thing. So, but I think that is most, that problem is mostly gone. And now it's just a matter of, maybe Nintendo just decides to shut it down. Which might
Yeah, just you know, happen. That also might be a thing.
But that... I think that competitive Melee, even though I cannot really bring myself to play it, is some of the most fun video gaming to watch. And
yeah, I love watching competitive Ultimate, but like competitive Melee is just,
it's a whole nother level.
Something about it, man. It's just so cool to watch people that are really good at Melee, which is why our stream had like 10 viewers and somehow none of us told us to please stop playing Melee.
Hey, everyone there knew what we were about.
I'm pretty sure you said multiple times, like, this is the worst Smash Melee that has ever been played on Twitch in like the past decade.
But there's so much to say, and that has been said about competitive Melee, which I feel like is worth saying because it's great. But the competitive side of Melee has been such a focus for so long that people have kind of forgotten about the casual side of it, which I think the casual side of Melee does a lot of things really well, that some of which never really came back in the same way.
Yeah, like adventure mode. Like, they try, so here's the thing, I respect that they did try to branch out adventure mode in Brawl. And we'll get to that in, like, I don't know, 2 years? It's gonna fucking be a little while before we hit that. But the Subspace Emissary was, like, a very easy and neat sort of step up from adventure mode. I think adventure mode is very bare bones in Melee, but, like, it's still kind of cool. Like, you're running through the Mushroom Kingdom as fucking Marth, a character from a game that at that point had never been released in America.
Yeah, this is a big point of where Subspace Emissary was a big disappointment for me when that game came out, is that there's so little Nintendo in it. And like in this game, like you, like in Melee, you run through the Mushroom Kingdom to get to Peach's castle, and then later on, you're going through a literal Zelda dungeon. And then when you get to the Metroid section, then you have to escape Planet Zebes as it's exploding. There's a lot of Nintendo in here. It really feels like all of these franchises are coming together in an interesting way. And that's something that I really just don't feel out of Subspace Emissary.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate side effect of them making the main antagonists like original things.
Even the settings, like there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's like one time you're going through the jungle as DK and Diddy, and I want to say that's like the
halberd's
thing.
There, and at some point you're on the halberd, but that's
yeah,
that's about it. This one section could kind of be something from Metroid if you squint.
The thing that I like about Melee's roster and what it sort of started, though, is you see the pieces that would eventually become how fucking buck wild characters get in Ultimate with the Ice Climbers.
Yep. 'Cause
they work completely differently from anybody else in the roster. And to a lesser extent, you know, you got Marth and his tip and all that. But like Ice Climbers were given this completely unique mechanic that only they have. And there isn't really anybody else like that. Well, I guess there's Pichu, but instead of a mechanic that helps that only Pichu has, Pichu just hurts himself all the time.
Well, there's also Zelda and Sheik, but that didn't end up working the way that the developers hoped it would.
Yeah, but I guess that is a good point too. Like that's even though those characters don't work like that anymore, and in fact haven't worked like that in two video games. I don't know. It's
funny that in Melee, Sheik has the worst down B in the game.
it's really neat to see sort of where that philosophy started of how can we make this character feel different from playing like Mario or something like that. And they didn't go quite as, they went a little bit farther in Brawl because you got stuff like Olimar and you have Pokemon Trainer who is just basically what if Zelda and Sheik were three things. And then in Wii U, I don't think they added anything too insane.
Wii U was the game where things would be really trimmed down because of the 3DS.
Yeah, but you can see it in the DLC though, right? Like just like we see it in Ultimate, like Bayo has the Witch Time stuff, or you know, Cloud has the limit gauge that he builds up. Or even in like launch Wii U, you have Mac and his like KO punch and all that. And then you get fucking Kazuya in Ultimate and basically the biggest fucking list of available moves any character's ever had in this fucking series.
I mean, we've got Steve in Ultimate.
And Steve, yeah. And like, I don't know. I just think it's kind of cool that you could see the start of that path in Melee. Like, it's very obviously there.
Yeah, Melee is where things started to get really creative and interesting, I think. Smash 64 felt like a game that was very let's make this concept work, and Melee is where they got the chance to really have fun with it, because you can see even just like more references to past games show up. Like Mario gets the cape from Super Mario World in a time when it's like this is the era I grew up in, and at this point I hadn't played Super Mario World. I didn't recognize it at all. I didn't know what the cape was. I think that there's just a lot of really cool stuff in this game, and like the game looks really good. The graphics really pop. I think it's still one of the more colorful Smash Brothers games.
Well, considering the art direction of Brawl could be summed up with lower the saturation rate.
Mm-hmm. but like even for early GameCube, I think it looks phenomenal. I think it was a great game to come out at the start of the GameCube's life. And the frame rate is a pretty consistent 60 for almost the entire experience. It drops a little bit sometimes, but it's not that big a deal. I think that just all around, it was the perfect game to come out at the start of the GameCube's life. You may remember the GameCube didn't sell that great, so like this game's existence was probably a substantial part of why we haven't just forgotten the GameCube.
Probably. It's probably like a mix of this and isn't there one other GameCube game that people really like?
I mean, there's a couple GameCube games that people really like.
Yeah, but like that people hold up as like, this is a classic forever.
Well, I mean, just like looking at the top selling GameCube games, you've got Melee, you've got Double Dash, you've got Wind Waker, Mario Sunshine, Metroid Prime, Animal Crossing. It was...
Yeah, but where are the... Oh, Metroid Prime. There you go. That's the one I was thinking of. It's Metroid Prime.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention Thousand Year Door.
Thousand Year Door as well, yes. All games you can hear us talk about one day.
The final real F-Zero game?
Yeah!
And the best-selling third-party game on the system, Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, then the GameCube was beyond saving. Sorry, I hate to break it to y'all. The GameCube was beyond... It turns out the GameCube was bad. You heard it here. Please don't pay attention to the past two GameCube games that I've really enjoyed. You heard it here. The GameCube sucked.
Well, it is probably a bad sign that the best-selling third-party title on the GameCube ever is its 14th best-selling game. Below four different Mario Parties. And Star Fox Adventures.
That's just a problem Nintendo's always had. So yeah. Melee is fine. I like watching it a lot more than I like playing it. And I think we're both in agreement on that one.
Yeah. Something else that I really like in Melee, though, is also like the trophies, which they stuck around for a little while, but I feel like they were the best in Melee because they weren't, for the most part, they weren't copy-pasted models from other existing games. Like, a lot of them were bespoke models for Melee.
When Melee came out, most of them didn't have good-looking 3D models.
I know.
Most of those characters.
But still, it's cool. It's neat. It's unique.
I miss trophies. I miss learning about things. There's an Ayumi Tachibana trophy in this one, and therefore this is the best trophy selection.
I mean, we are still... Spirits are... still kind of good for learning about things in their own way.
They don't have descriptions.
Yeah, but they have battles.
That's the thing I... They have what? See, the thing I miss from the trophies is being able to go in and, like, read a small blurb about, like, what that character's deal is.
We'll just get a DLC where they add a description to every single spirit.
That would be amazing, and I would never read all of them because there's, like, 10,000 of them. But yeah, I think that's what I missed the most out of trophies. I also, this was the last game with like unique target smash stages, which,
yep,
as much as I miss those, it makes sense.
Unfortunately,
Brawl, I think it was a little bit iffy. I do think they could have done it. It wouldn't have been easy, but I do think they could have pulled it off in Brawl.
In Brawl, they saw where this was heading.
Yeah, once you hit, like, Smash 4 and Ultimate, no fucking way. They weren't gonna waste the resources.
It's like, you know how nowadays, like, I bet Game Freak wishes that they had cut off the Pokemon a lot sooner, huh? I think yeah. That's kind of... They had the foresight to do that with Target Test, because...
They realized that this was eventually gonna get untenable. And so, like, yeah, that's why, as much as I think having everybody have their own target test stage was just a high point for side content in Smash in that specific way, there's a reason why it's that now, and I understand.
Yeah, that's just the reality of things, but it means that Melee will always be the best one.
Like, and some of the ones in Melee are so kind of cool. The only one that really, like, comes to mind off the top of my head is, like, the last target in the Ice Climbers stage is being carried by the Condor, like the vegetable at the top of the bonus stage.
I like how the Young Link one, it goes, hey, you know how to wall jump, right? You're gonna fucking learn.
I didn't even know wall jump was in Melee for a very long time.
I feel like most people didn't.
I mean, yeah, I just always assumed it was something that was added in Brawl. But yeah, it's an interesting game, and it's very neat to sort of see. I think you're right. It has the most straight line lineage from there to like what we now know as Super Smash Brothers. And it's deep.
I think this game, while it wasn't the original, I think this one specifically was really the start of something special.
You said earlier, like, 64 was them saying, let's just get this concept to work. And then I feel like Melee was 100% like, all right, now we know the concept works. What can we do with it? Which, unfortunately, the answer to that was to crunch ourselves into oblivion and almost kill Masahiro Sakurai.
This game's development was like legendarily horrific.
Yeah. It like, oh God.
And that's why he let the wave dash slip through.
I think, didn't he talk about how like he ended up in the hospital during this development?
I think he did. Yeah.
Like just all the stories you hear about Sakurai and development are like, dude, nobody said you had to do this. Like the whole, he fucked up his goddamn wrist making Kid Icarus Uprising and had to test Smash 4 on a goddamn trackball. Sakurai is insane.
Mm-hmm. And like people try to like pass off the narrative that like he's being forced to do any of this. And it's like, no, this man is just, he's just like that.
He's incredibly passionate about every project he touches to a nearly self-harmful degree most of the time.
People say like, oh, Sakurai keeps getting forced to make Smash Brothers games. No, he won't let anyone else do it. You think he's gonna let someone else make this? No, they'll get it wrong.
He's like Kojima when Kojima still had control of Metal Gear, where people have joked about like, oh, Konami was making Kojima keep making Metal Gear. And there's probably some truth to that in this particular instance because Konami. But there's also just so many stories of Kojima, of like Metal Gear games starting development under a completely independent team. And Kojima like ending up having to step in because it's like, all right, no. I got to steer this back on the right track.
Yeah.
I think it's something like that. I do think that Sakurai genuinely really enjoys making these games. And I mean, look at the DLC in Ultimate. You think that much fucking effort? You think a team puts that much effort into things? If the leader of the team is not like super down for this,
Sakurai is doing this because it is what he wants to do. I think that he has an overwhelming amount of influence at Nintendo, frankly.
Maybe too much.
Maybe. I think. I mean, it'll be curious to see if he keeps this influence now that he is finishing up the final Smash Brothers game to have been greenlit by Satoru Iwata. But
also, now that he finishes what might be the final Smash Brothers game.
We say that every time.
We say that, yeah, they're but never, this one, never, you can feel never, it.
They're never going to stop.
I don't know. This one, you can feel it.
They're never going to stop.
80 characters.
They're never going to stop. But
all right.
It's really a matter of, like, Sakurai's, you know, Sakurai's not an employee of Nintendo, right? He has literally never worked for Nintendo.
He has never once worked for Nintendo. He worked for HAL Laboratories, and now he works for Sora Ltd., which was a company explicitly made so that Sakurai could make Kid Icarus.
No, that was Project Sora.
Oh, was Sora made for Smash 4?
Yes. No. Project Sora was just Kid Icarus. Nothing else.
Well, yeah, but he worked for a studio called Sora Ltd.
Yeah, he still does,
doesn't he?
Yeah, they made Meteos.
Meteos?
When I say they, I mean Sora Ltd. It's just Sakurai. It's literally just Sakurai.
It's just Sakurai because all the rest of the team working on Smash is Bandai Namco.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays.
Meteos was made with Q Entertainment. So. And Project Sora was Sakurai and people working for Nintendo.
Anyways, we have talked way more about Melee than I thought we were going to. I'll be honest. It's been 45 minutes of recording. We should start wrapping up and talk about some of the music. This is the last Smash game to be 100% composed by one person.
And by God, it's incredible.
So Hirokazu Ando did pretty much a majority of the music for Super Smash Bros. Melee. It's basically the last time that one of these games had pretty much a singular lead composer, because after this, you go into Brawl, which added what I think is the best feature that Smash has ever gotten outside of gameplay, which is the My Music feature, where every stage has several songs that can play there. It's very interesting to listen back to Melee nowadays, because it's like, this was one guy. That's weird. There's like 100 composers credited in Ultimate.
But it's 100 people contributing like 3 songs.
Yeah. I don't know, but I really don't think there's any song that we could start with that's not Menu 1.
This is pretty much the Melee song.
This is the one, yeah.
More so than the opening theme.
I mean, I still at this day can barely hum the opening theme, but Menu 1, I mean, most of that is like, I don't know, man, I've maybe seen the intro of that game like 3 times ever. I didn't own a GameCube. But Menu 1, yeah, I agree. It's the one. It's the song that represents Melee 100%. It's just such a cool piece. And it's the one that keeps getting brought back in different iterations.
If I was to nail down a Smash Brothers series theme, it would probably be Menu 1.
Yeah. I don't know. It's great. It is a great song. And every rendition of it since, in all 3 of the games that have come after, have been fantastic, and it continues to be fantastic. And it's basically the only song from any of the games that keeps getting reiterated upon in later games.
Yeah, like, pretty
nobody,
much.
Nobody fucking remixed the Brawl theme in Ultimate. and I love the Brawl theme.
There are occasionally you see other songs. Like, Smash 64 credits theme got a new remix, and it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but that's the only one. Menu 1 from Melee has gotten, like, 5 or 6 fucking remixes.
It has, yeah.
Like, and it's always good. I mean, hell, when Brawl needed to make a boss fight theme, they just did a rearrangement of Menu 1.
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing.
This is, like, one of the most iconic songs that the franchise has ever made.
The other song that I'm gonna give a shout-out, but, like, what's the opposite of a shout-out?
Oh, no.
Hey, the DK rap in this game sucks. So divinely here, performing for you. You know the words you can join in, too. Put your hands together if you want to clap as we take you through this monkey rap. Not even the fun kind of sucks, because, like, yeah, the original DK rap is a bad song, but it's a bad song that knows it's a bad song, and that's the joke. Nobody told Hirokazu Ando that the DK rap was a joke. And I actually legitimately hate the version of the DK rap that is in Melee. It's it's not fun to listen to, and I hate it in all ways.
And then it got even worse as the franchise went on, and we truncated it down to just the first two verses.
Yeah. Yeah. I still can't believe they didn't fix that in Ultimate. I genuinely can't believe it. But no, it's bad. We have a friend who tells us we're insane every time we say that, but no. No. The original is far superior. And I don't know. This version of the DK rap is bad. It's just bad. I don't have anything else to say about it other than it's bad.
It ain't great. It's really hard to pull out one specific song because it's just like every song in this game is like the best version of that song.
I have one where I do think that is one of the best versions of the song from Donkey Kong, just to be a sort of counter to the bad version of the DK rap. I really, really like the swing version of Jungle Japes. Fucking love this song. It's so good. Like, I talked back when we did DK 64 about how one of my favorite renditions of DK Island Swing is in Donkey Kong 64. This is my favorite, my actual favorite rendition of DK Island Swing. Because it really, really leans into the fact that the song is called fucking DK Island Swing.
Yeah.
This is a swing piece.
This is a fantastic version of the song. Oh, actually, a song that I think is, like, really substantial in Melee's soundtrack because it was a drastically different kind of arrangement from the original that was so iconic it ended up back in the original series, is Fountain of Dreams. Because in the original Kirby series, this song is from Kirby Superstar, where it's like this fast-paced action song. It's a race against King Dedede, and it got turned into this lighter orchestral piece for Fountain of Dreams. And then the remake of Kirby's Adventure, Nightmare in Dreamland, took this song and made it the final boss theme at Fountain of Dreams.
Rad. Yeah, this is definitely close to the top of like the best themes in the game.
Yeah, I can't think of another song from Smash Brothers where the arrangement ended up being so iconic, it made it back into the original franchise.
I don't think I can either.
I think we should also make note of what many people heard for the first time in Super Smash Brothers Melee, the Fire Emblem medley. Which most people don't realize that first bit at the beginning is not the Fire Emblem theme. That is the meeting theme for when you recruit a new character. And then the second half of the medley is the Fire Emblem theme.
It's a really good song, and it's one of those weird things where it's like, you're told, oh, they were supposed to get a stage, but they did not have time. So this is just on tempo.
God, just imagine if we got that stage. There actually is evidence of one in the code based off of Arcanea from Marth's games.
That checks out. I wonder if it would have actually been a Fire Emblem stage or just a castle, like all the other Fire Emblem stages.
Probably not. But this rendition of the meeting theme, by the way, is incredible because it's pretty much exactly the arrangement of this song from the original Fire Emblem on Famicom, just not 8-bit.
I think I have one problem with the song, and it's really weird to have this problem because I feel like you go back to Juggle Japes and it doesn't have this problem despite it being the same instrument. Man, finding good trumpet midis is so fucking hard. I'm not going to fault anybody for that, but I'm a huge snob when it comes to trumpet midis because the majority of them fucking suck.
I actually just realized, so this the meeting theme, the recruitment theme for Fire Emblem, so it was in Marth's games back in the original, and then it changed once we got to a new continuity with the fourth game, and then they had a couple different ones for the next couple of games, and then Melee came out, and then the very next Fire Emblem game changed it back to this one.
Well, there you go, there's your second example, sort of.
Yeah, it's not quite the same because the song did exist before. Like, almost an identical arrangement, but it's like, god damn, this is such a good song. It's an incredible song.
I could shout out more, but I'm gonna restrain myself, and the last one I definitely want to bring out is that I'm so happy that there's a Pokemon Gold and Silver battle theme medley in Melee. As a child whose first game in the series was Gen 2, I'm pretty happy to find that here.
Wait, I literally just found out that the Final Destination theme is a remix of Smash 64's credits theme.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I think I probably knew it. I just didn't realize it. The final song that I want to call out is one of the original songs for Melee, which I think is probably my favorite Smash Brothers original theme, and that is Break the Targets. A good one.
I agree. It's got some good ass piano to it.
Yeah, it's going nuts.
I think it's a lot better than the, like, 64's is really, really low key. And I think that's good in its own way, but yeah, I think this kicks the shit out of it.
Yeah, the YouTube comments that I'm looking at, the top comment says, if there's one song that can define the entire GameCube era, it's this one.
I disagree. I still think that's menu one, but
but this one's just so good. But it's difficult just narrowing down the couple songs that we want to talk about because every song in this game is fantastic. I think this is one of the greatest soundtracks that has ever been made. So,
that being said, I don't have anything else to say about it. It's very good. It has a lot of good stuff. We're missing one song that we should probably give a shout out to. Hey, the Hyrule Temple theme is really good.
to say, put this out there, this is also this game is also the first time a lot of people heard this song.
Because it's in Zelda 2, the game no one liked.
Have you even played Zelda 2 to this day?
Nope.
I haven't either.
Don't plan to either.
Did we just accidentally plan a bonus episode?
No, because I'm not going to play Zelda 2. I've watched people play it. That's good enough for me.
Fair.
That is, there could not be a game on this earth less made for me than Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link for the Nintendo Entertainment System. A console I have, it's been well documented my feelings on.
Hyrule Temple, also like one of the best casual stages ever.
Yeah.
I said this on the stream, but like Temple has a three-act structure. And that's awesome.
It's a really good casual stage, I agree. Though I tend to prefer the casual stages that have more like bullshit going on in them. But like Hyrule Temple can have comparable moments of bullshit without having like Mom from Gamer in it.
Yeah.
And I prefer Mom at the end of the day, stuff like that, but this it's a testament to it's a very fun stage just because it doesn't need that stuff to fucking steal your soul.
I think it's also just really fun because first of all, it's the only stage it's been in every single game since it came out, since it was created. But the thing about it is that it's also really fun competitively if you actually like have a gentleman's agreement to play the video game, because all you have to do in this stage is just run away from your opponent and you win by timer scam. But if you actually like approach your opponent and properly fight each other, it gets wild. It's so fun.
Man, it's a fun stage.
It's not remotely fair, but it's really fun.
I think that's just that's a testament to something that Smash has always done good, is even if something's not fair, doesn't mean it can't be fun. Now that is not, there are so many people that make the stupid fucking argument of competitive is bad because it doesn't have all the fun shit. Well, yeah, man, that fun shit stops being fun when there's fucking $10,000 on the line. So
I bet those people always choose every single game mode in their Halo playlist.
I bet those people play coin battle.
I bet those people turn off the permadeath and Fire Emblem and take out all the fun things from that game. How does it feel to be told that?
Stop talking about me on our podcast.
But like you could actually make the same comparison.
It's the same as when people talk about like the Dark Souls shouldn't have an easy mode. It's like, fuck you, man. Just don't use it.
And like the really funny thing about it is that the kind of person that is likely to think it is wrong to turn off items in Smash Brothers is likely to play Fire Emblem on casual mode.
Like I enjoy Smash with items as much as the next guy, but I still prefer it without items. That's my preferred type of play.
The cool thing about it is that there's an options menu built into the video game.
Oh, wow! You mean,
what a concept.
Matt, I'm pretty sure a competitive player came to my house and deleted all the items off of my GameCube.
This has some serious using throws is unfair energy.
We made this exact same joke in the stream.
Hungrybox came to my house and uninstalled my items from the game.
Yeah, and deleted every character except for Jigglypuff.
There's like actually a copypasta about Hungrybox at a grocery store, and I'm pretty sure that's what it's about.
Nice. But anyways, I don't have anything else to say about Melee, do you? It's good. I don't like playing it. It's good.
I have too much more to say about Melee, so I shouldn't.
Yeah, we've been going for an hour.
There's so much more I could say about this game, and we'll just never have enough time for it. So
you can send Matt tweets and ask him what he thinks about Melee. I'm not going to tell you his username yet. You're going to have to wait till the end of the show to get that. Haha, caught you in the trap. All right. And our next game is representing fighter number 55, Pac-Man. It is, for some reason I don't remember, 2002's Pac-Man World 2. It was available on the GameCube and the PlayStation 2. Was it available on the Xbox? I don't know.
Well, the reason is because we tried to focus on games that like have distinct campaigns, and Pac-Man doesn't have a lot of options.
We could have played Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures, the point-and-click adventure where Pac-Man doesn't listen to you. We are not alone for this episode, either. We are joined by CyberLink420, a.k.a. Luke. Luke, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank God. It's so dark at the bottom of the barrel. I haven't seen light in days.
Well, we needed to get open the barrel to get this game. Because I don't know fucking anything about this game. So the closest I have to knowing anything about Pac-Man World 2 is during some stream. I don't remember what stream this would have been during, but it might have been during Banjo-Tooie. One of the members of the chat described Pac-Man World 3 as Banjo-Kazooie meets Metroid Prime in tone.
Tone, maybe.
Both Matt and I were like, that... How the fuck does that work?
The answer is because Don Bluth used to be attached to it.
Holy shit, what?
Okay, that answers that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
holy
that was
fuck.
It was originally going to be a separate Pac-Man game with Don Bluth attached. He did a bunch of character designs, did like some involvement with the story, but then it got heavily reworked. He left the project and it got kind of changed back into Pac-Man World 3.
Odd. So was he not involved with this one, though?
No, he was not.
Well, fuck, we picked the wrong Pac-Man world.
No, you picked the right Pac-Man world. Most people will say that this is the best of the trilogy. Not counting the racing game, but most people haven't played the racing game.
We were actually told that by a friend. We wrote down Pac-Man world, and when we were doing all this, we sent the list to some friends to see what they thought about it. And the only note that anyone gave for Pac-Man world was, who is better? one person gave that note.
Was this friend me?
No, this friend was a different...
That sounds like something I would say.
I believe it was our friend Fossils.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, who suggested we up it to two. People need to know that we didn't come to you and say, do you want to be on Pac-Man World 2? We gave you an option of all the games that weren't spoken for on the list, and you specifically picked this
one. To be fair, Banjo was not announced yet.
That is true. That is very true.
I must say that, like, I was originally planning on being like, so what possesses you to specifically choose this game? But then I imagine the answer is the same as, how do you just know offhand that Don Bluth was involved in Pac-Man World 3?
Because I looked at Wikipedia. But the reason I wanted Pac-Man World 2 is because Pac-Man World 2 is the reason I wanted Pac-Man in Smash Brothers. No joke.
Oh, shit. Really?
Like, when I saw Pac-Man got announced, I marked out specifically because of this game.
Huh. All right.
Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, I love me some 3D platformers. And early GameCube days, there were not a whole lot of those to go around. There weren't a whole lot of games in general to go around.
Yeah, we just finished talking about Melee, one of the only widely remembered GameCube games that probably might have saved at the beginning.
Yeah, but that game, I want to say I rented that game like when it came out because I was desperate for some new 3D platformer to play, and you know, Sonic Adventure 2 could only last me so long. And I'm like, oh, I know who Pac-Man is. I like 3D platformers. I'll give it a shot. And it's actually a surprisingly decent game, I will say. Coming in as somebody who had not played Pac-Man World 1 at the time, I actually enjoyed my time with it a lot and ended up like really attaching myself to it, to the point where I bought it before it came with Pac-Man Versus.
I'm excited to get into this game because it has a factor that no other game on the entire list has, and that is that neither me nor Matt know anything about it.
I'm not confident I've seen a screenshot.
for every single other game on the series on the list, either, well, a majority of which Matt has experience with and I do not, and one of which I have experience with and Matt does not. And this is a rarity, and it may very well be the last game where neither of us actually knows anything about it. So it's a good thing that we have a guest, because otherwise,
even among games that neither of us have played, which is very few and probably won't be any by the time we actually get to them, because I'm probably going to play Xenoblade 2. Like, this is definitely the one that we know the least of. And it's like, I remember going into, like, Kid Icarus Myths and Monsters, where it's like, we made a point to talk about how we knew so little about it. But I actually feel like we know less about this one. At least I do.
Yeah.
Like, at least with Kid Icarus, we had played a Kid Icarus game, to use as a comparison point.
Right.
But yeah, I'm very interested to find out how this goes. Would it be wrong to say that this game specifically, its existence might be a bit of a relic of the era of your game has to be 3D or we're not publishing it? Because was that still going during the GameCube? I don't remember. Or was that purely an N64, PS1 era thing?
I think that was more N64, PS1 era. Like, by the time, you know, GameCube, PS2 came around, that had kind of lightened up. But I think that they had already been like, well, we've got a formula that actually worked really well with the first Pac-Man World, which was, you know, a kind of fixed camera game compared to the free camera in World 2. So let's just iterate on that and kind of build on it.
It was also a while before 2D games were in vogue again.
Yeah, that's very true.
Are there any 2D games on our list on GameCube?
No, that's Wii.
Yeah, that's Wii. I think the closest we come is Paper Mario, and that's only like sort of 2D as the art style.
Yeah, I don't think we've got any.
Interesting. So yeah, that is true.
Like, I will give you guys two tips going into this. First off, you're going to get a pretty sharp difficulty spike about halfway through the game. So as soon as you start seeing lava levels, look out for that.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Oh, no. This is going to be a disaster on my end.
Yeah, probably.
Metroid Fusion all over again.
And second, I need you both to promise me right now, do not try to 100% any of the stages. Just promise me that now.
Oh, that was the worst thing you could have said to me.
Here's the thing, though. There are collectibles in the stage that you can get. You know, there's nothing stopping you from getting all of them on the first run. The problem is, if you don't collect them all in one run, you might as well have not collected any, because you only get the little special bonus thing if you get all of them in one run.
Well, I have to do it for at least one stage now.
This is going to date this episode, but we are currently streaming Kingdom Hearts 2 every Tuesday, and Matt has multiple times said that he's going to get all three crowns. You
I said
won't
that once,
but I imagine that's the same sort of situation here. Of it's not worth it.
It's really not worth it, because I'm not going to tell you what the final reward is, because if you knew what it was, you'd be like, that is a near worthless reward, and it would just make you angry.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'll take your advice without a second thought.
I have to do it for at least one level.
One level.
I'm going to be so fucking bad at this game. Oh, no. Well, no, I'm not terrible at 3D platformers.
Technically, now I think about it, completing a level means getting all the things in one run and then also completing a time trial.
Nice. Well, that's something I actually, like, enjoy and care about doing.
The rest of it's out of spite. So. Most of the show is out of spite for Matt.
Yeah.
Spite is a powerful motivator.
That's true. You know, it's just like how I told you, when we get to Super Mario Sunshine, there are completely optional levels that I'm going to force you to do. But it's a matter of, like, I feel like I should understand the bullshit along with the good stuff.
I'm gonna hate Mario Sunshine, aren't I? No, I don't think I'll hate it, but I don't think I'm gonna enjoy it as much as I like, say, Galaxy. But yeah, I'm not too worried about this one. I'm alright at 3D platformers, I feel like. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm bad at all video games. But 3D platformers is one of the genres that I'm a little bit less bad at, if that makes sense. So we'll see if that translates into whether or not I should start taking painkillers about the time that lava shows up, or...
I have absolutely no preconceived notions about this. I've, like, made a point not to have any understanding of what I'm getting into.
I'm very much looking forward to this, actually. Like, again, like I said, we don't have any other games like this. We're just, neither of us know shit.
Yeah, this is a unique one.
So I am excited, and I'm very excited to... We have been talking about you being on this episode for like 2 years now.
Yeah, well, I was one of the first people you booked, as I recall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a very early decision, and now we're finally here.
It was like the first time that we were like talking about ever having guests. Like more like most of the guests that we've had so far were planned like pretty late in, because it's a lot of NWR people.
So, yeah, let's see where this takes us. Luke, go ahead and do you got anything to plug?
Well, you can follow me online on Twitter at Cyberlink420. You can follow my quote-unquote funny version of Sonic X, Sonic F, at Sonic F Series. I help run the Transformers Wiki, so pop over there if you want to, you know, learn entirely too much about the robots in disguise. And, you know, I think I might call up some of my friends and join you guys in streaming this playthrough. So,
where would that be?
Presumably twitch.tv/cyberlink420, if all goes to plan. I, for all I know, this could all crash and burn, everything will fall apart, and I'll just play it on my own. But, you know, knock on wood, we'll see.
We'll definitely keep us posted if you do end up streaming it. We will definitely post a link to that on the Twitter and get some viewers in there.
Sounds good.
I think that would be fun. All right. In terms of us, though, you can follow me at String Pixel, and you can follow Matt at Grimace to Menace on Twitter. On Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, you can find the show itself at Smashterpieces. You can also find our editor, Peter Spacia. He's at Pete Speak Easy on Twitter. And hey, you know, I do a show with Peter. It's called Original Sound Chat. Do you like the part of this show where we talk about the music? Well, it's a whole podcast that's that.
What if I don't like that part?
Just had to blow up my spot right here live on the episode.
Why aren't you making a podcast all about video game sound effects? That's the real audio money.
Because the only game we'd be able to make it about is... I could do a whole episode of the sound design in fucking Silent Hill 2 now that I'm thinking about it. I kind of did. But yeah, it's called Original Soundchat. You should go listen to it. It's a really good show. And we're soon going to hit 150 by the end of the year. And that's daunting to think about. I don't have anything else. That's all we got. You can see our streams at twitch.tv/NintendoWorldReport. That's where Matt and I stream all these games and more. That's it. That's all I got. Any last words, gentlemen?
What if since tomorrow we are recording at... We're recording on Wednesday, September 22nd. Tomorrow is the Nintendo Direct, where we might get the last Smash Brothers fighter. And even better, if we do, this part of the episode is after the part of the episode where we talk about how they fit into the show. Do we want to get into some last-minute predictions?
I predict they are going to be disappointing.
That's the free space.
I'm throwing my hat into Ayumi Tachibana for no real good explainable reason. Give me Detective Wife, Nintendo. Soccer, I wanted to do it in Melee. It's time to close that loop.
This is Dana the Wizard from Solomon's Keys. Time to shine.
Urban Champion, now's the time to show up.
That was everything I wanted out of that.
Why they have not put an Urban Champion stage into Smash at this point, I will never know. It's right there.
But yeah, I got nothing else.
All right. Well, with that, my name is Joe.
My name is Matt.
My name is Luke.
And we will see you next time for our episode discussing Pac-Man World 2. All right, so this would normally be where we duck out to talk about the next game on the list, but first we have to do a cool jump cut to 24 hours.
No, don't acknowledge.
What?
Don't acknowledge the jump cut. It's funny.
Oh, no, I'm acknowledging the jump cut. Your joke won't work if I don't acknowledge the jump cut.
No, the joke is funnier if you don't acknowledge the jump cut.
Is it?
I think it is. I think it is.
I mean, we've already said that we're recording this before the direct.
Also, I legitimately kind of think there's a chance that the character won't be revealed, so we should probably leave it open.
Do you not? Oh man, I don't know.
I legitimately think there's a chance it won't.
I don't think there's a chance it won't be.
I think we might get an announcement of a dedicated stream.
Maybe, but I feel like we'll at least know who the character is. I don't know. Nintendo's pretty.
Don't agree.
Nintendo has been pretty like.
I'm not saying I think it's not going to happen. I'm just saying I think there's a very real chance it won't.
Yeah, but they've been pretty consistent about it.
I would leave yourself the opportunity to go into Pac-Man if we have to.
Then we should stop recording now. Then.
I guess so.